That's popped up, shallow center field. Correa is out, calling everyone off. He's there, makes the catch, and that is the ball game.
Now,
the Houston Astros are 2017 American League West champions.
Another Astros podcast.
Devers at the plate representing the winning run. He is 1-for-3 with an RBI double, and he grounds the first pitch right at Altuve. Second baseman has it, throws to first in time, and that is the ball game. The Houston Astros hold on to defeat the Boston Red Sox by a final of 3-2. That's now 5 straight wins for the Astros and 100 wins on the season.
Second time in franchise history, triple digits. Unbelievable season, and there's two more left. Got a chance to maybe tie that 1998 team with 102 wins. What a game and what a victory for the Astros.
Welcome back, Robert Ford, joined by Astros hitting coach Dave Hudgens. Only makes sense to talk to the hitting coach after a historic stretch for the Astros. Had 4 straight games in which scored at least 11 runs, and offense really just clicking on all cylinders. And it seems like it's coming together offensively right at the right time, have guys healthy now for the most part, and right before the postseason.
Yeah, it seems like it. I mean, we're getting guys back. Correa getting, you know, back and getting his timing down. Josh Reddick is down a little bit, but other than that, yeah, guys are swinging back good. They're feeling strong, and yeah, we're ready to go into it.
Alex Bregman, really good game yesterday, driving in all 3 of the Astros' runs, had a 2-run home run. He's one of the many Astros who's been swinging the bat really well of late. And really for Bregman, it's been since early July that we've seen him just be one of the better offensive players on this team, hitting for average and some extra base hits.
Yeah, he's been really consistent. He's the kind of guy that prepares. He does his work, he does his homework, he always has a game plan, like the rest of the guys too. But for a young hitter, you know, he's really mature beyond his years.
What has Bregman gotten better at this year compared to last year? Of course, last year just up to the big leagues for the first time and had only been in pro ball for a year at that point.
I think just learning his swing a little bit and what adjustments he has to make, learning how guys are pitching him and then how they're making adjustments to him. And then he's had to make an adjustment back. They started beating him with some high fastballs, so he makes the adjustment and gets on top of the ball a little bit more. He's really good at that. But, it takes a young guy a little time to make those adjustments. I think early in the year, not having as much spring training as maybe he could have hurt him a little bit on the start. But after the start of the season, after the first month or so, he's really been good.
Meanwhile, you mentioned Carlos Correa came off the disabled list early September, had the thumb injury that required surgery. And you mentioned timing as being an issue for him early. Was that really what it was for him before he started to heat up?
I think so. You know, minor league at-bats are great, but they're not like facing major league pitching, especially, you know, him jumping, of course, right back in the middle of the lineup. They're pitching him like Carlos Correa, not somebody that might hit in the 7th or 8th spot. So I think with his timing and just getting the feel back, strength in his hands, just getting back at major league game speed, it took him a little while, but he's coming on at the right time. He looks great. He's hitting the ball to all fields. He's pulling some balls that are inside, getting the ball in the air, and he's driving the ball the other way, and he's such a clutch hitter, such a big part of our lineup. So, yeah, it's good to see him start to get hot again.
Now, Yuli Gurriel was a guy who was a bit of an X factor coming into the year. You know, came over from Cuba. Last year was the first time he had played in the States and really had played competitively in a little while. And, of course, they don't play every day quite like they do here in the U.S. over in Cuba. How have you seen Yuli evolve and grow this season?
It took him some time to learn how to prepare and how he needs to get ready for a game because it's so much different here than it might be in Cuba, just with all the information. And, you know, it's something that we didn't want to overwhelm him with at all when he first got here. And now he's starting to understand, you know, he's starting to look at some video. He's starting to understand how guys are trying to pitch him. And he's really a smart hitter. I mean, you don't have that kind of success over there at that kind of international competition and not be really good. So he's got great bat-to-ball skills. You know, he's similar to Altuve in contact rate. Hits the ball as hard as anybody. So, I mean, he hasn't been a surprise because we thought in spring training he can really hit.
Yeah.
It's just the approach as far as knowing what pitches to hit, having a game plan against every pitcher. And the big thing with him is facing those guys for the first time. And second, third time around, he really makes good adjustments.
Dave Hudgens, Astros hitting coach. Thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure, Robert. Anytime.
Charlie Morton is my guest today here on Astro Launch. This is Steve Sparks ahead of the third game of this series with Boston. And Charlie, last night, big outing for you. I mean, finish up the season strong before the playoffs, feeling good about yourself. Great atmosphere here at Fenway, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. I never pitched here before. The only time I came here as a kid, and then I threw in a pre-draft workout here in 2002, so that was the last time I was here.
Any memories? I mean, you told me yesterday that you'd come here with your grandparents and your parents on a few occasions. Did you ever look up in the stands and just think, man, I was up in the stands not too long ago, and here I am right in the middle of the diamond?
I don't remember coming here frequently. We might have come here one time. I remember after the game, though, going to the Cheers bar.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you think you were going to see Norm or Cliff?
I didn't know. I was young.
Have you ever felt the electricity of a crowd like that? Have you pitched in the playoffs before?
Yeah, in 2013, I started a game in the division series. That was crazy. It had been 20 years of losing in Pittsburgh, and there's a lot of pent-up emotion, and I think it was just a different crowd because, I mean, we went on the road to St. Louis. It was exciting, you know. It was a playoff atmosphere, but there's something about 2013 in Pittsburgh and that playoff, the wild card game, and then the DS there.
This team's won 100 games, and you made mention to somebody the other day that investing your time in a special group of guys like this is going to be tough to duplicate. What do you mean by that? I mean, this group is tight, aren't they?
I think when you get towards the end of your career, I think you start to think about, especially when you have kids and a wife and kids, and you start to think about how you're spending your time. In my experience, groups like this, they just don't happen every year. It takes a special group. It takes a special group of individuals to make a team like this. So, and now this is my third team in 3 years. I think you're always searching for guys you like to be around, and it gets a long season. So, and the group of guys we've gotten here, I love every one of them.
Yeah.
So it's, you don't find that too often.
How quickly did you feel that with this team? Was it in spring training or as the season went along?
When I went to Houston and when I signed, I didn't get to know, I didn't get to meet too many people.
Yeah.
But then I went to Fan Fest. I got to meet some of the guys. And then certainly spring training, you started to get the real sense this is a special, dynamic group. Everybody's got their quirks. And,
sure.
You know,
that's
just like anywhere else. Right. But, you know, it's not very... not very clicky. It seems like everybody just wants to win together, play together, and we've done a good job.
Hey, a lot more innings for you this year compared to last year anyway. Not too far off your season high total as far as innings goes. What makes you so strong this time of year for you? Because your velocity never wavered.
Yeah, and that usually happens.
Yeah.
Usually it happens around June.
Yeah.
You know, I come out of spring training, usually the ball's coming out okay if I'm assuming I'm healthy. I think the problems I had in the past were when it comes to pitch speed associated with injury.
Yeah.
You know, it was either I was hurt, pitching hurt, so, you know, you adjust your mechanics, you know, you're really trying to protect your body subconsciously, consciously. After the 2011 season, I had hip surgery on my left one. Came out of spring training, I wasn't throwing very hard in spring training, lost a bunch of weight, and the same exact thing happened after 2014 season going to 2015. So really, I think it's just preparing, having a good off season.
Yeah.
And I wasn't able to do that after 2011 or 2014. But I was, after the 2015 season, I stayed healthy. You know, I didn't pitch well, I stayed healthy, and then had a great off season, and unfortunately, I had hamstring avulsion there and run down to first base. Same thing as I had an off season.
Got a lot of rest.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But I had some real good work.
Yeah.
Put in. I've been telling people this and ask me, what do you think? What do you attribute, you know, the speed to?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's been my workouts. The past two off seasons where I worked out, Athletic Edge and Bradenton.
Gotcha.
Give him a little shout out. Andrew Emick and Mike Goff down there. I think that's the biggest thing. And also too, I mean, I was traded from the Pirates to the Phillies. And I started working at a different place, and I started throwing with a different group of guys. We had our thing up there at Lakewood Ranch High School in Bradenton, our little workout group playing catch. And I was just toying with some things mechanically. I wasn't really working with anybody. I was just listening to my body.
Yeah.
And I think that helped a lot, too, because I hadn't really done that before. It was pretty productive from 2015.
Last thing, and we were having a conversation inside with Will Harris. Top three movies of all time.
Good Will Hunting.
That's number one.
Shawshank Redemption.
Number two.
I don't know how many people are going to be mad about this, but I have to do, I think I have to do, to expand this to top five. True Grit, the new one. Okay, yeah. Bridges, Matt Damon.
Yeah.
And then I have to throw Dumb and Dumber and Super Troopers out there.
And Super Troopers is in your top five?
I don't know. It's just, it's one of those movies that, you know, you know, like Vermont.
Just brings you to your happy place, huh?
Yeah, I spent a good amount of time up there. And it's just funny.
All right, that's Charlie Morton. Charlie, man, great season this year. I mean, you guys got a long way to go, but thanks for catching up.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
This has been a production.
And whoever in this crowd wasn't standing before, well, they're getting to their feet now.
Of the Houston Astros.
This place is rocking right now.
Radio Network.